Our study at this time continues in this fourth chapter of Joshua. And last time we'd gotten into the seventh verse where the 12 men had each taken a stone out of the midst of the Jordan River over close to where the Ark of the Covenant was standing by the priests. And they carried these stones to the first camping place, which would be Gilgal. And they set them up there. And he says, "And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." And when the children asked, "What do you mean by these stones?" they would give an answer and say, in verse 7, that the waters of Jordan were cut off from before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan, and the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Now, thinking of them being a memorial for the children of Israel forever, we'd have to realize then that these stones stayed in that place for a long time afterwards. And we remember years later when John the Baptist was preaching to the people and preparing the way for the Lord at this very same area along this Jordan River. While John was preaching repentance to those Pharisees and Sadducees who were actually hypocritical in Matthew 3, beginning with the 7th verse, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth fruits, therefore, meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." There's a good possibility that John might have been pointing to these very stones here that were set up for this memorial that was to last forever, a memorial showing that the children of Israel had passed over the Jordan River and done it miraculously by the Ark of the Covenant causing those waters through the power of God to stand back and let them pass on dry ground. So in verse 8 of chapter 4, "And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribe of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there." So as we said, this was at Gilgal, each stone representing a tribe of the children of Israel, and there being the number 12. And verse 9, we have another thing that's done. "And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest which bare the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day." So Joshua then was to do a second thing here. Besides setting up the 12 stones at their first camping place, he set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan. Now, we don't know exactly how this was done, but they were probably piled on top of one another so that they rose up a certain distance from the floor of the riverbed. And when the water was low enough, they probably even protruded above the surface of the Jordan River. And when the water was clear enough, they could be seen beneath the surface. And this would be something that would also be recognized by those who went up and down the river in boats, because even most rivers where they have stones that protrude up out of the water, like rivers where raft trips are taken, the ones who guide the rafts and who are familiar with the river know where each set of stones are, and they know how to get around them. And they even give names to these places where the stones are, because they can wreck a boat real easily. And so this set of stones that Joshua put up here in the midst of the Jordan River would be recognized, and people would realize what they were there for, and it would, again, bring to their remembrance the fact that God had performed a very great miracle at this same spot. Now, you know, as man thinks about making a memorial, making something that would commemorate a great event, he thinks about putting up something that is elaborate, that's embellished with a lot of flowery designs and special cut stones and that really is appealing to the eye. But we see here God, in making this great memorial, simply took stones. Stones that were found right out of the middle of the riverbed itself. And God's ways are not the ways of man. These stones are not designed to give honor and glory and praise to man. They're not to be something that is put up by the design and mind of man, but they're just a very simple and effective means that God used to bring this to the people's memory. It's very easy to see 12 stones that came up from the bottom of the Jordan River, and when somebody asks a question about it, to be able to give the story. These stones came out of Jordan at the very time that God was holding the waters back while the people crossed over. And so it's interesting for us to note then the way that God works and how he is so different from the mind of man. Now in verse 10, "For the priests which bare the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hasted and passed over." Now these priests stood at their post until everything that was done that God commanded to be done. Everything that God commanded Joshua was carried out, and the priests did not move from their post of standing there in the middle of the Jordan River. And, of course, then he says, "And the people hasted and passed over." Probably talking about all the people, not just the ones who gathered the stones, but probably talking about the great multitude of the whole camp of the Israelites that were going into the land of Canaan. They passed over. You know, these priests were in a fairly dangerous position here, standing right in the front of this huge mound of water that was piled up on the north side of them, and realizing that any time that these waters were let go, they would be washed away. They'd be absolutely annihilated. And if you think this is not a frightening experience, just imagine yourself in the same position. I remember one time going to Hoover Dam and going down into the very bottom of this dam and coming out and being able to look back and see this giant structure towering hundreds of feet above, and knowing that the level of the water is several hundred feet above you too, and you can feel the whole thing vibrating as that water is passing through the turbines of the generators, and you realize that if this dam should break, we'd just be washed away, and there'd be no way we could even have any hope of getting out of it. It's a rather sobering and frightening experience. Well, these priests stood there with this giant wall of water above them and did it for hour after hour until all the people had passed over. Verse 11, "And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over." Now, that is, everybody made it that was going across. The lame and the weak and all of the possessions, all the cattle, All the goods that the people owned, they were moving lock, stock, and barrel, everything across this river. This was truly moving day for this nation. And so it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over that the ark of the Lord passed over and the priest in the presence of the people. So now the ark and the priest who were bearing this ark were the very last ones, it seems, to pass over, because it was the presence of this ark that kept the river held back so the people could get across. Now, you know, as we think of the events of this day, there were many, many things going on. Everybody's mind was totally occupied with immediate things that they had to do. Just think of having to get all of your possessions and move in one day. Just carry them out in one day and into a different land entirely, and you're going to be completely mobile with these possessions, and you'd be tied up, you'd be occupied, it'd be a full day's work. And Joshua had much on his mind, of course, getting all these people across and seeing that everything was done and carrying out the commands of God. But yet in the midst of all this, still the time was taken to set up this memorial as God wanted. Stones set up in the midst of the Jordan River, and then also 12 stones set up over at Gilgal, their first camping place. But all the people were passed over. Now this is quite a feat for this to happen. We're talking about thousands and thousands of people. This going over the Jordan River wasn't just like walking across a little creek bed somewhere. There were steep sides to go down to get into the bed of the river, and then there was also the steep side to climb up to come out of the bed of the river. And all the possessions and the cattle and the people, the men and women and children, the older people, the younger people, those that might be sick, those that would have difficulty even walking. And you can see what a tremendous job this was. But after they were clean passed over, as he words it here, then the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priest, in the presence of the people. So the people were able to see this ark come on up out of that river. Verse 12, and the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and the half of the tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them. So now these two and a half tribes that were settling east of the Jordan, you know, one of the agreements that they had to be able to go ahead and settle there was that their armed men, their armies, soldiers, would be able to go on into the land of Canaan with the rest of the tribes and help them to conquer the land. So he simply states here that these children of Reuben, Gad, and half Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel. They were leading the people. Verse 13, now about 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. It seems that the 40,000 he's talking about here are the 40,000 out of Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh. And, of course, they didn't have to move all of their families. They didn't have to worry about moving their cattle and their possessions and so forth. Their families were safely settled in back then in the lands that they were now leaving. And so they could be very mobile. And they then were the leaders in the crossing over. 40,000 of them, they were armed, they were prepared for war, and they were then the spearhead of the drive to go into Canaan and to possess the land. Verse 14, on that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. So Joshua is now magnified, not because Joshua is magnified himself, not because Joshua has set himself up to be any great thing, but because the Lord has magnified Joshua. Now, you know, when man deserves to be magnified, the Lord does it. Let's let the Lord do it. Let's not be our own magnifier. That's the position of the Lord to do. We simply carry out the commands of God, and then, as a result of that, God magnifies us. We magnify God, and God in turn magnifies us. And that's what happened here in the case of Joshua. Because Joshua was so diligent to carry out the commands of God, he was very faithful to these commands. Then, on that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel. He let Israel know, this man is my servant. He is faithful to me. He is going to be your mediator, so to speak. And so you then are to obey what he says. And so they feared him, as they feared Moses all the days of his life. Verse 15, and the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of Jordan. Now he's given the specific details of the priests coming up out of the Jordan River. They not only stayed there until all of the people were clean passed over, but they also stayed there until Joshua received further commands from God as to what they were to do. So Joshua is told here to command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come ye up out of Jordan, And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up under the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place, and flowed over all his banks, as they did before. So as soon as the priests came out, then the Jordan River began its flow again. The waters returned, it says, unto their place, and flowed over all its banks as it did before. This river was, as you know, it was on a rise. It was due to the melting of the snows at the time of the harvest, coming down from the mountains of Lebanon, and it was just a very, very great miracle. Now, this is another thing that shows that this was simply a miracle of God and not some phenomenon of nature. As soon as the priest came out with the Ark of the Covenant, then the waters immediately returned to their place and again overflowed the banks of the Jordan River, as it did before. Verse 19, And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped it in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. Now, this was on the 10th day of the first month. God had told them that they had been in that wilderness for 40 years due to their disobedience. Now, this included their first year that they were there before they disobeyed God so badly by refusing to go in when the 12 spies were sent in the first place. It included that year as one of the 40 years, and which was really a triumphant year due to the fact that they'd been brought out of the land of Egypt. And it also included their last year, which was also a triumphant year, which they spent over east of this Jordan, and conquering those kings and making preparation to cross over. But it was a total of 40 years, lacking 5 days. Had they spent 5 more days, it would have been a 40 years to the day. But they left on the 10th day of the first month, and probably the reason for this was the Lord was hasting to get the people out, show mercy as soon as he possibly could, and so he also wanted them to be out in time to celebrate the Passover as soon as they got into the land of Canaan. So had they waited for the full 40 days, they would have been crossing over the Jordan River at the very time they should have been celebrating the Passover. So they came out 5 days before it was actually 40 years to the very day. So they came up on the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal. And as we mentioned before, Gilgal is about 4 miles or so away from the Jordan River. It's about midway between Jordan and the city of Jericho. And the city of Jericho was 7 or 8 miles away. So he says it's in the east border of Jericho. They were getting very, very close to Jericho, just 3, 4, 5 miles from Jericho. Verse 20, And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. So that would be the very place that the stones were set up for the memorial. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then shall you let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. So he again reminds them of the fact that the children are going to ask and you're to give the answer. That's the purpose of these stones, to provoke curiosity and then have that curiosity satisfied by giving an answer as to what these stones mean. So then so you let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea when he dried up them before us, until we were gone over. So he compares this miracle as being similar to the drying up of the Red Sea, and certainly it was. And those who knew the history of the people of Israel, they knew about the crossing over the Red Sea and coming out of the captivity of Egypt, would also know that God did a very similar thing here. He dried up the waters of the Jordan and let them come then into the land of Canaan. Verse 24, That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Now this wasn't just for the children of Israel to know about. It wasn't just for their posterity to ask and to know and to be taught, but eventually this was for all of the children of the earth to know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. It's for our benefit today to know about these things. And we would like to stress that the things written in the Old Testament are most important for us to study and to know about. They are history of God's actions, of God's law, of His dealing with His people, and those very same principles that God used in the past to deal with His people, those very same principles also apply to us today. We must not forget that. Every quotation in the New Testament that quotes from a passage in the Old Testament, it is assumed that you know the meaning of that Old Testament passage. It's assumed that you know the context of it, and the quotation in the New Testament is given on that basis. If you don't know the meaning of the Old Testament passage, then you cannot get the true meaning of it just from the New Testament alone, because it's given to teach you a greater lesson. It's given to tell you more than is said in the New Testament. That's the purpose of the quotation. You're to go back and you're to know what the Old Testament teaches. So it's a basis for the New. And so these acts that God did here on this Jordan River, they're that the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. It's designed to put fear into everybody, all the people of the earth. And so it's just as important for us to know about this today as it was for the children of Israel to know about it in times past. Well, we now come to the end of the fourth chapter of Joshua. We're going to close at that point. Next time, Lord willing, we'll begin with the fifth chapter. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying goodbye, friends.